Terry and Jesse show. Wake up, America. Don't hit the snooze button. Global warming alert. Jesus is coming one day. Are you ready to meet him? My partner Terry's out doing apostolic work as always. This is the holy hour of power. I promise you this is not going to be low energy Catholic radio. This program is not right versus left. It is right versus wrong. I've got an exciting guest. Hopefully we can connect with her. Noelle Marine. She wrote a book that was just recently released. It's called Awake, Not Woke. Awake, Not Woke. This is a Christian response to the cult of progressive ideology put out by TAN. Definitely want to get her take on the whole woke movement. By the way, October is the month which the Catholic Church dedicates to the Holy Rosary. This is a devotion which Our Lady loves, and she's asked us to pray it every day if possible. She said this to St. Dominic de Guzman, Blessed Ellen de la Roche, St. Bernadette of Subaru, Blessed Jacinta, Blessed Francesco, Sister Lucia, and St. Louis de Montfort. This is a Marian devotion which several popes throughout the centuries have endorsed and encouraged the Catholic faithful to pray as a manifestation of our filial trust and love for our mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, seeking the powerful intercession of Our Lady in front of the Blessed Trinity. Just want to mention this Saturday, I'm going to be at Mother of God Chaldean Catholic Church in Southfield, Michigan, at the Genesis 4-9 Men's Conferences, the Genesis 4-9 Men's Conference, October 16th, this Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., Southfield, Michigan. Mother of God Chaldean Catholic Church. we're also going to have a church militant on the last segment giving us a news update. And there's some real good news that we're going to mention on the last segment. You don't want to miss it. Let's go now to some soul food. Let's go now to the Word of God. And then I'm also going to give a quote from Fulton Sheen. I pulled out my book on quotable quotes from Fulton Sheen. But today's gospel, Luke chapter 11, verses 42 to 46, is very short, powerful, and pithy. The Lord said, Woe to you, Pharisees! You pay tithes of mint and rue and of every garden herb, but you pay no attention to judgment and to love for God. These you should have done without overlooking the others. Woe to you, Pharisees! You love the seat of honor in synagogues and greetings in marketplaces. Woe to you! You are like unseen graves over which people unknowingly walk. Then one of the scholars of the law said to him in reply, Teacher, by saying this, you're insulting us too. And he said, Woe also to you, scholars of the law. You impose on people burdens hard to carry, but yourselves do not lift one finger to touch them, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. When I was doing my Lectio Divina this morning, my divine reading, and I was meditating and contemplating on that verse, the image that came to my mind, is our Lord Jesus Christ was talking to the U.S. bishops, the Roman Curia, and the Democrat Party. That's what kept coming on my mind during Lectio Divina this morning. These were the Pharisees and Sadducees of today that Jesus Christ would probably say the same thing. Lectio Divina, by the way, is a powerful way. Father Cliff Ermanninger says, for people that are dealing with some type of level of diabolical affliction, diabolical vexation or torment, Lectio Divina, meditation upon the Word of God, is a powerful way to liberate yourself from diabolical affliction of some sort. So what does the word woe mean? Our Lord uses this a lot in the Gospels. Woe is a covenant curse. It's an oracle of judgment by God. Now, when our Lord says, woe to you, Pharisees, remember the Pharisees, they were already tithing. The Pharisees gave a tenth part of all the produce to the temple of Jerusalem, and even the smallest of their herbs and spices was tithed to the temple. But what's sad is their concern for the Torah, the first five books of Moses, and all the minute details of the law, it distracted them from the most important principle of religion, which is love and justice. Justice and love of God. And so that's why our Lord criticized them. He called them like graves. Jews were temporarily defiled, if you want to know the Old Testament, by contact with the tombs and corpses, and therefore they were disqualified from worshiping at the Temple of Jerusalem. This is stated in Numbers chapter 19, verse 11 to 16. Ironically, the Pharisees also became a source of defilement, since the influence of their strict ceremonial piety was keeping people away from the kingdom of God. It was keeping people away from the higher law, which is justice and love of God and love of neighbor. Okay, let me go on to Fulton Sheen's quote here. I'm pulling out my quotable Sheen book here. The quotable Fulton Sheen. I'd like to quote what Fulton Sheen says here on page 282, what he says about Satan. Here's what he says about Satan. Quote, "Do not mock the Gospels and say there is no Satan. Evil is too real in the world to say that. Do not say the idea of Satan is dead and gone. Satan never gained so many cohorts as when, in his shrewdness, he spreads the rumor that he's long since dead. Do not reject the gospel because it says the Savior was tempted. Satan always tempts the pure. The others are already his. Satan stations more devils on monastery walls than in the dens of iniquity, for the latter offer no resistance. Do not say it was absurd that Satan should appear to our Lord, for Satan must always come close to the godly and the strong, and others succumb from a distance." Fulton Sheen also says, "Satan possesses only willing victims." Did you catch that? Satan possesses only willing victims. In other words, people that by an act of their will, they accept to align their will with Satan's will. Fulton Sheen also talks about sanctity and holiness. He says this, "There is nothing so base or low that it cannot be reconquered. There is no duty, however menial, that cannot be retrieved for sanctity, and that there is nothing that is cast down that cannot be lifted up." What is Fulton Sheen saying? When you get knocked down, get back up. Don't stay down. When you get knocked down, get back up. Remember, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let me mention something that I think should go national that's starting here in Phoenix, Arizona. There's a group of Catholic men called the Church Protectors. These are very good Catholic men in the Diocese of Phoenix. They realize that, you know, we're getting hit with, one bit of bad news after another. You know, of course, we get some good news in between as well. Like, for example, Archbishop Broglio from the Diocese of the Military, he's just saying the Catholics, all Catholics, don't have to get the vax in all four branches of the military. Don't have to do that. This is the Archbishop Broglio, who oversees the entire military operation for Catholics. So that's good news. Here's another bit of good news. You know, laughter is good medicine. In fact, I wrote a book. It's called Our Mouths Were Filled with Laughter. It's a Catholic joke book. You could get it on my website. But there's a couple of Catholic men that are setting up a St. Joseph's Neri Festival January 8th here in Mesa, Arizona. It's going to be at Vertuccio Farms. If you want to get more information on this, so you can do something like this in your diocese, go to CatholicComedy.com, CatholicComedy.com, CatholicComedy.com. It's going to be a Catholic comedy festival. It's going to be all day for the family from 1 p.m. to 8 p.m. I think this is great news to get a Catholic families together at a farm and have all kinds of Catholic comedians and all kinds of Catholic games and fellowship so that we can spend an afternoon encouraging each other and laughing with each other. You know, G.K. Chesterton once said that the reason that Jesus Christ has never mentioned laughing in the New Testament is because had Christ laughed, the entire universe would not have contained his laughter, could not have contained his laughter. But the Bible says that our mouths are filled with laughter, and laughter is a good thing. So think about, if you live around here in the Phoenix Valley, it's the St. Philip Neri Festival. Go to CatholicComedy.com, CatholicComedy.com. I'll be there. It's January 8th at Vertuccio Farms in Mesa, Arizona. Well, up next, we're going to be talking to the author of a book, a new TAN book that just came out. It's called Awake, Not Woke. This is a Christian response to the cult of progressive ideology. Her name is Noelle Marine. She wrote a book that is just so relevant to the times we're living. and she's got some pretty incredible endorsements here. We've all seen what's been happening the last couple of months. The long simmering crisis that grips our culture is exploded in the last couple of years. And we're going to have a conversation with the author of this book. It's called Awake, Not Woke. In fact, Catholics should be awake. That's what St. Paul says, arise, O sleeper, but not woke. She's going to tell us the distinction between both. And she's going to unmask the ideology behind this history. The book talks about some of the major players, the promises, some of their tactics. And it shows us that wokeness at its core is an ideology of rupture and division, not of unity. Indeed, it's an ideology with fundamentalist and even cult-like characteristics that's basically at loggerheads with the Catholic faith. This is a collision course with Christianity. So this is going to be an exciting interview. I've been looking forward to doing this interview with the author. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. My name is Jesse Romero. Coming up in a few minutes, you're going to hear from the author of Awake, Not Woke, Noelle Meering. She gives us a Christian's response to the cult, the religious cult of progressive ideology. Stick around.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
The Terry and Jesse Show. This is the Holy Hour of Power. I would like to introduce Noelle Meering, the author of Awake, Not Woke. Noelle, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. I've been waiting for this conversation.
Thank you so much for having me.
Noelle, you have done the Catholic Church such a big favor. This is the issue that we've been battling now for a number of years. And it's even infiltrated the Catholic Church. I mean, this title, everybody's got to get this book here, Awake, Not Woke. If you want to understand the times we're living in right now, this author has done a great service to all Catholics, not only Catholics, Protestants, people of goodwill. Get this book so you can understand the times that we're living in right now. Noelle, why did you want to write this book? Well, first of all, tell us a little bit about Noelle Meering. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a writer and author. I have co-authored the books Theology of Home 1 and 2 with my dear friend Carrie Gress, and I also edit the website theologyofhome.com. I am a wife and a mother of six children, two of whom are actually no longer children. They've gone off to college. So we have four kids at home still. I'm married to my college boyfriend, Adam Meering, and we live in Southern California.
Wow. You live right there in where the battle, that's ground zero for the battle. I commend you. Writing a book as a Southern California woman out there, you know about this culture, Awake, Not Woke. You're in the midst of it. So
that's right.
Yeah. God bless you. I used to live there for 53 years. I moved out 6 years ago to Phoenix, Arizona. And I'm glad I did, but I have all my family and my wife, all of our family and network of friends, a lot of them are still up there in Southern California. So you're in our thoughts and prayers every day because I know you guys are fighting the good fight of faith out there.
Thank you. Yeah, a lot of people are leaving, and I understand why, but we're sticking it out just because of family, and we have a great school and community.
Absolutely. No, I get that. My partner, Terry Barber and stuff, I mean, he's saying there's nothing that's going to pull me out of California. I need to be here. I need to fight. So God will place his soldiers where he needs them, and obviously he needs you there. So why did you want to write this book?
You know, I fundamentally wanted to write this book out of care and love for persons. You know, I didn't really want to it wasn't motivated by politics or polemical reasons specifically, although there's certainly a ton of politics in here, but fundamentally because I understood that the woke movement was doing something that was beyond politics. It was really, it really operates as a tyrannical ideology that I think is meant to live parasitically off of Christianity until it has replaced it. And I think that's its fundamental goal. And I see it as harming the very people it's trying to help, but also harming all of us on that road of towards power for themselves.
That's a great analysis of this movement and why you wrote the book. I'm sure your husband was probably your number one fan as you're writing the book. I'm guessing. They say, "Hey, honey, I'm going to write a book on awake, not woke." Your husband was saying, "Are you kidding me? We're going to have to wear bulletproof vests, honey." I mean, what did he say?
Yeah, no. He's luckily he's very supportive, but it has crossed our mind that you know he or I or we both can be canceled in some form or whatever. So
yeah, put cameras around the house. Yeah, that's all that stuff. Yep. So you know, give us a definition of when the left and the progressives say woke. What do they mean by that? I mean, for years ago, when people used to say woke to me, it means I just got out of bed. I just got after a good night's sleep. What does woke mean in our current culture right now?
Yes. So great question. I think that the most neutral definition and one which they could agree with is that to be woke is to be alert and attuned to the various layers of oppression in society. It began in particular with regard to racial injustice, but has since broadened to include all the hot button issues, sexuality, feminism, now transgenderism. But I think at its core, and what I really tried to distill in the book is through based on the history and the presuppositions that this really is just the latest version of Marxism. Ideology is trying to filter all of our lens, see all of reality, all human dynamics, even family life, every institution, your friend's barbecue, as through a lens of power, that some people have power, other people don't. And you're to be woke is to identify where that oppression is coming from and see it in every interaction.
You know, Noelle, now I understand why. I mean, years ago, you have 100 and some odd years of papal condemnation of socialism and Marxism. This is something that the popes, the Roman pontiffs have continually stated about how dangerous this is. I mean, but truth be told, this is the first papacy that I find no condemnation of Marxism. I'm still waiting to hear some apostolic letter encyclical. But prior to him, from Pope Benedict all the way down past 100 years, there's a constant condemnation of Marxism and socialism. And this is what we're dealing with here. And by the way, socialism is a code word for communism. That's all it is. Where did this movement come from? I think you're already giving us a hint. And obviously, it's not new. It's been around a long time. Talk about that.
Yeah, no, I mean, ultimately, I think it came from the snake in the garden, tempting the first woman. I really do think it is, you know, a manifestation of evil, the way an effective mode of getting evil into the world. But I do start it with Karl Marx and Hegel. And then go into, you know, there's this institute of German Marxists that started called the Frankfurt School, came to be known. Mm-hmm. And they brought their whole goal was to understand why the revolution had not happened on the Marxist level, purely through economics, and realize that what we really need to do is expand the revolution beyond class warfare into racial warfare, war between the sexes, eventually, you know, homosexuality. To find broader ways of identifying oppressed groups to further divide society across broader swaths of people. And they were very effective in the way that they did that. They realized that American culture and the West in particular was resistant to revolution because we were, you know, we had Christianity, which is really the greatest enemy to revolution is the faith, but also the family. The family life is rewarding. It gives us a context for our suffering. It gives us, the faith does, and the family life gives us an introduction to our irreplaceability, a fundamental dignity of the child, and eventually a window into the love of God. And so really dismantling those two things became the big goal. And these all these layers of oppression are really just a tool to get us to rupture society in further and further ways.
And I would also say that the entire COVID-19 religious cult is also part of this woke movement, part of this Marxist movement as well. It's political, it's medical. There's a religious component to it. And we'll talk about that. For those that are just tuning in right now, I'm talking to, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, Noelle, right? Noelle,
yep.
Noelle Marin. She's the author of this book, and it's a new TAN release. It's called Awake, Not Woke. Awake, Not Woke. Some of my best friends have endorsed this book here. And she's this is a response to the cult of progressive ideology that we're fighting right now. We're fighting basically, Marxism in America right now. They're trying to turn the USA, these Marxists, into the USSA. And she's exposed this in this book, Awake Not Woke. It's a TAN release. And essentially what she's done is she's pulled the curtain back and she's telling us, you know, that you have no clothes. Okay, that's the wizard right there. She's pulling the curtain back. Now, here's something painful I'm going to ask you, because I see it all around us, and I know what you're going to say. Can Christians be woke? And is there a woke movement within the Catholic Church? Is there a woke movement among some of the hierarchy?
I think certainly, yes. We have to recognize that this movement has infiltrated the church on multiple levels. You even see it in Catholic schools. I have parents reaching out to me left and right after I exposed some DEI training at a Catholic school outside of Chicago, including teachers using their pronouns. So radical gender ideology. And I've heard from parents all over the country that saying it's in their schools too, and Christians, Protestants as well. And I think that was another motivator for writing the book, is I saw so many Christian people I knew who were getting caught up in this movement. And I think it's because it starts with sort of Christian premises, right? That's why it's compelling to people. It says we have to walk with the marginalized, walk with the suffering. We have to be people for justice. But that yes, we do. But then it inserts all of this ideology into the way in which you must carry out that fight that is antithetical to Christ and to the church. And we, you know, to be deceived by this and caught up into it is really the goal, I think, to get Christians to be caught up into this movement. And it's been effective. But I think if the more clarity we have and the more we see it as antithetical to our faith, then the more we'll have the courage to fight against it.
Noelle, how can people get the book? Tanbooks.com, right?
Tanbooks.org, and also at our website, theologyofhome.com. We sell it there as well. Anywhere you buy books as well.
Yeah. Theologyatthome.com, right?
Theologyofhome.com. Yeah.
Theologyofhome.com and Tanbooks. Don't go and get it from Amazon. Don't get it from them. Get it from Noelle's website or get it from Tan. Don't sponsor Amazon. Do so as little as possible. I want to ask you a question so you can just really get to the core of this issue. Give the audience, figure that, people have probably never heard of Marx and Hegel before. Give me in two or three sentences, what was Marx's error and what was Hegel's error at the core? And then the next segment will develop that. But give me a sentence, a soundbite. What was Marx's error philosophically and Hegel's error?
I think Marx's error fundamentally is that he reduces all of the world down to power dynamics and totalizes that as the only vision in which we can see and understand the world. And it's simply not true. And it creates enemies across, creates division and enemies every time it's implemented. Hegel's fundamental error, I think, is that this is where we get the kind of history with a capital H, this idea that society is going to be, and the goal of society is to be constantly kind of revolutionizing itself more and more over and over again until it achieves a sort of perfect state, that every revolution is a movement towards perfection, which is simply not true as well. We see throughout history that we enter into errors. We have to reformulate ourselves. History is not this omnipotent being or omniscient being that knows exactly what right from wrong, right? That's putting a thing as though it were God, right? And so I think those are the fundamental errors, this movement of progress. The progress is always going to be towards the good, and that the filter of all dynamics should be one of power.
We're talking with Noelle Marion. She's the author of a book, Awake Not Woke, and she's speaking prophetically. And what do I mean by that? She's speaking truth to power. Every single baptized Catholic is a priest, prophet, and king, of course, subordinate to Jesus Christ. And you have done the church a great service by providing us this book, because this is exactly the heart and soul of the culture of death right now. This is exactly what we're fighting against. And a lot of people don't know how to identify it, but you've basically parsed this and you've broken this down to make it very understandable for people. It's a thin read. It's not that thick. Awake, Not Woke, A Christian Response to the Cult of Progressive Ideology. We're going to continue this conversation on the next segment with author Noelle Marion. It's a Tan release, and we're talking about, again, the dangers of the woke movement. I mean, you hear college kids say when they get home after, the semester, they say, "Hey, Mom, Dad, I don't go to Mass anymore. I'm woke." We want to talk a little bit about that in the next segment. Stick around. You're listening to The Terry and Jesse Show. I've got author Noelle Marion. The book, Awake Not Woke, from Tan. Get it right now. Tan books, or go to her website. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We're back. I've got the honor of interviewing Noelle Marien. She's author of the book Awake Not Woke. You could get it from 10books.com, 10books.com, or theologyofhome.com, theologyofhome.com. This book is an incredible, it's an incredible cornucopia of information, and she exposes the lies of the devil and the empty promises of the world by this term, the woke movement. So, Noelle, why does this movement seem to target children? I was at my brother's house in Southern California a while ago, and her daughter walked out of the room and walked into the living room and said, hey, I'm not, I told him her mom and dad, I don't have to go to mass anymore. I'm woke. And just walk right back into her room. I didn't think much of it, but boy, oh boy, the neurotransmitters in my brain are popping as I'm talking to you. So why does this movement seem to target children?
Yeah, that was one of the more sinister things I found in my research. And it's really important to understand that for the woke, innocence is a form of dominance. It's a form of oppression. And so they really hate innocence. It's particularly targeted. And so, for example, when a couple of years ago, everyone was talking about how there are transgender story hours in libraries and that, you know, these woke moms were bringing, you know, little 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 10-year-old to watch transgender people, you know, twerk, read stories, you know, teach them how to twerk. You know, it's really appalling and bizarre. And the ostensible reason they gave was that, you know, this is going to open the door to this lifestyle in case there's a child who is prone that, you know, inclined this way, then this gives them permission. Secondly, this was an anti-bullying effort, they would say. We want children to be exposed to these alternative lifestyles so that they don't bully someone who joins this lifestyle. But the deeper reason is that children have an innate sense, because they're so innocent, they naturally understand what nature calls us to. They understand that men and women make sense in marriage. They understand that for a man to dress like a woman is weird and it makes them uncomfortable. Well, that discomfort is, for the woke, is a signpost that there is a true good, that there is some way that we ought to be living. And children have to be disabused of that innocence in order to make the alternative lifestyle seem normalized, to seem just as a good of an alternative as a more traditional moral life. So children's innocence has to be targeted in that particular way. Also, the innocence of women. I think women in some ways are called to be icons of innocence in this world. And so the new feminist woman is a sign of rebellion, right? She probably protests naked or she flouts her femininity. And that's another corruption of innocence. And then, of course, we have their ultimate sacrament of the woke, the demonic act of abortion, which is the sacrament of the feminist movement and is a physical and also spiritual targeting of the innocent in the most heinous way.
Wow. Well said. Well said. This is a Luciferian movement. I'm just going to put it out there. It's a Luciferian movement. And of course, Lucifer always wants to target the innocent. And just like he did in the Garden of Eden, he goes after women, Exhibit A, Eve. I also think that Karl Marx and Hegel, in my opinion, what they wrote, they're nothing but mouthpieces for Satan. I mean, there's many others as well, but without a doubt, Karl Marx and Hegel, in my opinion, from everything I've read about these two men, these guys are mouthpieces for the devil. So why has the movement been so compelling for so many years? I mean, what's the engine that drives it? What's the gasoline that impels it? What's so attractive about this woke movement?
Yeah, it's a big question. I think it's a couple of things. For one thing, I think the movement has really successfully created a society with all sorts of wounds and social pathologies. It really targets the father in order to dismantle the family. And in so doing, it creates generations of children from broken and homes that are wounded and walking through the world without confidence, without, you know, the healthy, ordered understanding of what authority means and who God is. And that society of wounded people is very fertile ground for the power of ideology. Why? Because the definition of the person, according to Christianity, is that we are defined by the love of God and we have a mission to go spread the good news to people that they are loved. The definition of for the woke of the person is that they are defined not by the love of God, but by the hatred of society. And it creates this contra gospel where there's to spread the bad news to people that they are hated, awaken them to their oppression. Well, if you're a wounded person, you're really primed and ready to kind of receive a message that means that there is someone to you can blame and that you can blame for your justifiable hurts. And that you can walk through the world with that sort of hatred. And so it's a movement of despair, and that despair really quickly turns into rage. And so I think that feeds something that we kind of are all tempted towards as human beings. We're tempted towards deflecting from our own faults, deflecting from our responsibility, finding someone to hate. And that really feeds and is the sustenance of this movement.
I also see this movement, it drives society and culture into moral and social disorder, which is completely the opposite of Catholic, Roman Catholic, Western civilization ethics, which is moral order and social order. I'm telling you, you've done the church such a favor by writing this book, because this is exactly the battle that I believe we'll be fighting this battle until the second coming of Christ. This is the way the devil operates. The devil operates through lies and propaganda and empty promises, and this is exactly what the whole woke movement is. So let's flip the coin here, Noel. Let's talk about some of the ways that we can resist and some of the ways that conservatives, people of faith, and patriots, how they can fight back. I mean, there's not everybody's Catholic, but there are people of goodwill out there that are not Catholic. How can we collectively fight back and resist this woke movement? I mean, give us some micro solutions and then maybe give us some macro solutions.
Sure. Well, I think we're seeing the beginnings of it with, you know, parents showing up at school board meetings and resisting, you know, this sort of indoctrination. And a lot of those parents, by the way, are not religious at all. There's a lot of people who are on the left that are realizing that this is toxic. And so I think we really need to band together in those efforts, join together, because the courage is contagious. And the more we join together and stand up against it, then the more power we will have, because it really is a David and Goliath sort of situation where the left controls all these institutions of power throughout society, between media, Hollywood, journalism, technology, big tech. But we have ways that we can resist them with our pocketbooks, with our refusal, you know, the boycotting, and also, you know, that whatever was happening with Southwest Airlines, you know, I guess there's some confusion about what that was about, but it seems to me like it was pretty clearly a rejection of the vaccine mandate. And that has a lot of power, because corporations cannot simply have all their employees walk out. But we need to find ways in which we can resist it. Each of us, and I think in our personal lives, need to figure out, how can I fight this movement? We need to start with clarity. We need to understand what the movement is so that we're no longer confused by it. And then we need to have the courage and the confidence. And we should have confidence, because we have the truth on our side and also human nature on our side. People want to live lives that are happy and are flourishing and are in accord with their nature, but they're being lied to again and again, and it's not making them happy. And so we have a message of truth that is in accord with human nature, and we should feel a lot of confidence in promoting that.
That was a mouthful. You gave us the micro and the macro solutions. Give me some of the most powerful chapters that you wrote in the book. In your mind, which are some of the most powerful chapters and thoughts that you wrote in your book that you want to share with the audience, to give them a teaser so they can go and get this book, Awake Not Woke? It's put out by 10. You can go pick it up at theologyofhome.com, theologyofhome.com, or 10books.com, 10books.com. I'm speaking with the author, Noel Mehring. This is a book that should be in every Catholic shelf, but in every Catholic intellect. We need to absorb it and know what we're up against, because we're going to be fighting this Marxist socialist ideology until the second coming of Christ. And if you don't think that's true, we already have one party, the Democrat Party, that many members of that party right now don't even call themselves Democrats anymore. They've added to it. They call themselves the Democrat Socialist of America, the DSA. Bernie Sanders, Ocasio-Cortez, and many others. What is socialism? That's a code word. That's a euphemism for communism. So if you think that Marxism is not in America, you're wrong. The stage has already been set. They're here. We have to know how to resist and fight against it with Christian principles, and also with the things afforded to us by the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. So, Noel, in the last couple of minutes, give us some of the most important points that you have made in this book that you want to share with the audience in two or three minutes.
Yeah, I think the heart of the book really is part two, the dogmas. And so I identify three fundamental distortions of the woke movement. The first one is an emphasis of group at the detriment of the person. The second one is an elevation of our desires, our human will, in contradiction to our embodied nature and our reason. Mm. And the third one is a collapsing of authority into human power. Nothing to reverence, no real authority, nothing above us, no measure, and certainly no God. Everything becomes about power. And then the fourth chapter, I really think is the spiritual meat of the book, which is basically, it's called The Crowd and the Victim. And that's where I get into Christ, who is the perfect innocent victim, and how the woke try to claim victimhood for themselves and innocence for themselves by making everyone else guilty. And how that really is the way that it tries to usurp the role of Christ in the world.
Wow. You heard it for yourself. You got to get the book, Awake Not Woke, put out by 10. I'm talking with the author, Noel Mehring. Go to theologyofhome.com or tanbooks.com. This book is an exposition of the lies of the devil and the empty promises of the world. And this book really shows you the way the diabolical works through politics, the diabolical works through culture. And the diabolical also is very effective with people that have a shallow understanding of truth, of the Catholic faith, of the meaning and purpose of life. In the last minute, Noel, is there something you want to share with the audience? You got about a minute. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I think the one thing, important thing to remember is that whenever a society is transitioning into tyranny, it's very hard to see as citizens is when we're living through it, because it fundamentally has to maintain its power through lies. And so I think it's really important to identify the lies that we're being told, to see through them, and to see outside of sort of this whole worldview that they've created, this paradigm that we are all swimming in. We're swimming in all of these cultural messages of radical feminism, gender ideology, all of these things, to see past those and to understand that these are just tools to get power for a very dangerous movement that we need to be wary of and we need to resist sooner than later.
Noel, thank you very much. Thank you for coming on the Terry and Jesse Show. God bless you and your family. You've done the church a great service. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, Jesse. It's great to be with you.
Thank you. Thank you. Up next, church militant Kim Tizer. She's going to give us the world in 10 minutes, what's happening around the Catholic world. God bless you. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
This is the Terry and Jesse Show. We've got my good friends from Church Militant, Kim Tizer, what I call the internal affairs of the Catholic Church. or you can call them the Special Crimes Unit of the Catholic Church. Whatever you want to call them, I'm so glad that they're here and now, because boy, oh boy, do we need you guys more than ever. Kim, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Thank you so much. As always, it is so good to be with you. And I know I'm starting to sound like a broken record. Michael Voris would love to be with you today. Hopefully he'll be with you next week. But the reason he's not here at this very moment is he is on the phone. He's been on the phone much of the morning, much of the afternoon. And if I said it had to do with something involving a legal case going on, what would you think that would be about, if you just had to guess, Jesse?
I'm guessing you guys were in litigation with Baltimore, Maryland, over the venue and the conference. Is that what Michael's on the phone about?
Ding, ding, ding. Yes, you've got it. So, and that's going to lead our news tonight. We are going to have an update. I will tell you right now that we had some really good news last night from the judge who ruled in our favor in regards to the preliminary injunction that we filed with the court to essentially boot Baltimore out of our way so we could proceed with the Bishop's Enough is Enough rally. So this was so exciting. The excitement was actually palpable this morning throughout the studios. And then stop the presses. The city threw a little wrench our way. And we just heard maybe 30 minutes ago that they are going to appeal the judge's ruling. So it's not over. This is like a dog that won't let go of its ham bone. You know, they just don't want this to go forward. And they're doing whatever they can to try and stop it. But I will tell you, we are very hopeful. We are very positive and might I say confident, you know, that we will wind up being victorious in all of this.
And I think, you know, kudos to the judge. Common sense kicked in, because common sense doesn't always kick in as a lot of these court decisions. And she applied the rule of law. I mean, this is a clear violation of you know, our constitutional rights of free speech. She saw that and she ruled against it. But again, these crybabies and stuff, when things don't go their way, you know, they start sniveling and they have to appeal. But this is basic American constitutional law. And I'm glad. Right. I mean, I read what Michael had put out, and her wording was very strong.
It was.
Yeah. I don't know where they think they're going to go on appeal, but things look good for those of us that believe in free speech.
That's right. And obviously we do. And I will go ahead and tell you, many people know, because I've mentioned it before, that about a month ago we started something known as the Church Militant Catholic Info Hour. So the first half, you had the evening news, right, that kicks off at 7 p.m. Eastern. And then at the bottom of the hour, we go into the download. Well, for tonight's download, we will actually have an expanded panel. Michael Boris will be there, as well as Christine Niles and Milo Yiannopoulos, to actually kind of break down what the judge decided, why she, you know, ruled in our favor, and certainly to cover any new developments, because this is an ongoing developing story. Who knows what will happen between now and tonight, but they're going to cover all of that during the download.
By the way, Milo Yiannopoulos is a pleasant addition to Church Militant. I don't know how long he's going to be there, but the last couple of days that I've seen him there, he is so engaging, so entertaining, so intelligent.
Yeah.
He's got such a command presence when he starts talking about the culture and politics and his conversion and his faith. I just want to let you know, for whatever it's worth, he's a welcome addition to Church Militant. I hope he stays there a little bit longer.
Thank you, Jesse. I'll be sure to pass that on to him. And I will tell you, he's the same off air as he is on air. Also just very charming. And we're just very grateful to have him here. He's a joy to work with.
Yeah. By the way, it's good to see. As I travel around the country, I hear a lot of Catholics, they've tuned out some of the news networks in the evening. I won't mention them. They've tuned them out. And now they're watching Church Militant an hour every night. And this is Catholics around the country that were like myself. I used to cut my teeth on Fox News for 25 years. Okay, I'll be honest.
I said it.
Okay. And there's still some good stuff every now and then. Okay. You know, filch. But the fact is you guys now become my main staple, my main source of Catholic news, of news, period. And so everything else is a PS, you know, Newsmax, Fox. That's a PS. You guys have now become my red meat, my steak. Everything else is like salad and potato chips. And so I just want to thank you, because you provided an incredible, something that was much needed in the Catholic Church, an authentic news source that's authentically Catholic and truthful and honest.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that, Jesse, because, you know, what we do here, you know, as you mentioned, we share the news, but most of the news that we share deals with your faith. It deals ultimately with a viewer's salvation. Now, you're not going to get that from Fox News or any other news network, but that's what you get when you watch our evening news, when you watch Download and the other programs that I hope I can highlight in just a bit. I was going to tell you about a couple of the other stories that we plan on highlighting tonight. Just so you know, Paul Morano is working on a report right now on the latest with Southwest Airlines. You may have seen last night the CEO did this about face to say that employees would not be terminated, those who refuse the COVID jab. And this is in direct contrast to a memo that he sent last week. So Paul's going to take a look at what maybe led to that change of heart and the message that it should send to all of us who care anything about maintaining our freedom. So it's going to be a really good story. We had that tonight. And then also Project Veritas. I think we had a story on them last week, and we shared that they said they were going to be releasing more videos that help to kind of showcase Pfizer, the pharmaceutical giant Pfizer, and what they're about. And we do have the latest. So they are living up to their word to release more videos. We're going to have that on tonight. And as I mentioned, of course, the download for a complete hour of Catholic information, news, discussion that you won't get anywhere else.
You know what? When Catholics ask me, hey, Jess, what are two sources of information that I can go to as a Roman Catholic Christian that's an authentic voice out there of Catholic news? I tell them Church Militant and Project Veritas. Those are the two.
Excellent.
Automatically, I said James O'Keefe from Project Veritas and Michael Voris and his staff from Church Militant. Those are two authentic outlets where you're going to get Catholic truth, and you're going to get the news from a Catholic perspective. I'm sure there's more out there, but I mean, those are the ones that are in media that are using the internet effectively, I would say, are you guys and Project Veritas. And there's room for more people, obviously,
sure.
But I'm sure glad you're out there.
Thank you so much, Jesse. And we appreciate you and Terry as well, and how you serve as our ambassadors, if you will, letting others know about us and you know what we're about. And in case there's someone who just happens to be new tuning in to you today, maybe they're not familiar with Church Militant, if I can just give us a little plug real quick to say, first off, go to our website, churchmilitant.com. On there, you will find thousands of hours worth of videos covering everything from faith and politics to you name it. And most of it is free. Yeah. So if you've never been there, I encourage you to start watching The Vortex every day. Then maybe advance to watching the evening news. Then consider becoming a premium member. That's not something that I usually plug, but people need to know about that because it's only $10 a month to access some premium material like the Mic'd Up program and download, and there are others. And again, these are stories, these are programs that feed your faith and give you encouragement, will inspire you during these times that we're in, and who doesn't need that? So again, go to churchmilitant.com, poke around, and check the videos out. We encourage you and welcome you to do that.
Yeah, you guys have done a lot of the heavy lifting for a lot of people. When Catholics want to know things about apologetics or history, the history of the church or catechesis, you guys have hundreds of videos. You can sit there, you know, take out your laptop, a paper and a pencil, and actually do a Bible study, some catechetical study with a group of Catholics, with your family, with your siblings, with your peers. Yeah, you guys have done the heavy lifting in the last 20 years, and we're the beneficiaries of it. So absolutely, I use your videos all the time as I travel around the country, and I tell Catholic men, say, I want to learn more about Freemasonry. I said, go to Church Militant and type in this. I want to learn more about the Crusades. Go to Church Militant and type this. So, the fact is you guys are helping people know their faith. And once people know their faith, they're able to live their faith. And obviously, once we live our faith, we're called to spread our faith like you guys are doing and we're doing as well. Kim, anything else? You got about a minute.
I would just say, please tell others about it. If you are familiar with Church Militant, let others know about it, because there's no better time to get strong in your faith, to become courageous in your faith. And again, we have the materials to help you do that. We all have a lot of distractions, and it requires a little bit of willpower to maybe put down the remote and to watch something that will feed your faith. So again, go to churchmilitant.com.
I've loved that name right from the beginning, Church Militant. I tell you, in Latin, it's Ecclesia Militans, and it's an ancient word that's been used by several popes throughout the centuries. Powerful name. That's exactly what we are here on Earth. Now, I tell people, you're part of the Church Militant. They go, no, I'm not. I'm not part of. Yes, you are. If you're a Roman Catholic Christian who's baptized and you're on Earth, you're part of the Church Militant. Oh, I didn't know that, Jesse. I thought it was an organization. Yeah, it's that too. But in a wider sense, we're all part of the Church Militant because we're the baptized body of Christ. Kim, thank you very much for all you do every single day with Church Militant. Say hi to all the folks, and we're going to keep praying for you guys that you guys ultimately persevere in this appeal by the enemies of truth. We're going to pray to the Lord that the truth will set you free so that we can enjoy a great time at the Bishop's Conference and speak truth to power.
Thank you. We need those prayers, and we do appreciate them.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, that was Church Militant, Kim Tizer. That's our Strength and Our Honor segment. Again, I call this apostolate the internal affairs of the Catholic Church. or the Special Victims Unit of the Catholic Church. Hey, we're called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity. Set yourself apart from this corrupt generation and be saints. You weren't made to fit in. We were born to stand out. And let's remember, let's pray America great again. Thank you very much, St. Padre Pio. Pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful, and God will hear our prayer. We'll see you next time. Same Christ time, same Christ channel. God bless you. Keep the faith.